Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are continuing to talk about judging things and by what criteria? What are the standards by which we are judging things? Specifically, we're talking about judging churches. And a lot of people judge churches based on the wrong criteria. And they get different ideas about whether a church is good or bad. And lest you think that it's limited to church, let me just remind us of examples all the time. Like when we judge music, you know, our kids maybe come to us and say, "Hey, check this out, Dad. This is really great. All the kids are listening to it. All the kids are loving it." Maybe it's a catchy song. Maybe the band looks cool. And you go, "Okay, I can see why you're listening to... Wait, what are they singing? What are these lyrics? You know, how do they measure up to what we see in the Bible? Maybe we need to think a little more carefully about this song or that song. What about that movie that you saw with a bunch of your friends late at night, and everybody was just in such a punchy mood that you were just cracking up at every little thing? And then you remember that movie a couple of years later when you've got your little daughters and you say, "I remember this was so much fun to watch." And you say, "How about let's watch this for family movie night?" And you turn it on and go, "Oh my goodness, what were we laughing at? What was going on?" Or sometimes it's not necessarily like it was a lot worse than you remember, although that happens. But sometimes it's just like, "That's not that funny. You know, I thought that was the funniest thing in the world, but that's not that funny." We're judging by different standards. Well, I challenged us to think about the Bible. And what does the Bible judge churches based on? What are the standards? What are the judging criterion? And we've been considering specifically the pastoral epistles over the past few episodes. And we've looked at some of the things that are very clear that Paul was laying out to Timothy and to Titus and saying, "This is what you need to be about as you lead these churches, as you select elders for churches in Ephesus and in Crete specifically." And we also learned that Paul, the inspired author of these letters, was not just writing for the individuals. He wanted the churches to be reading over the shoulders of Timothy and Titus so that they would know what churches ought to be all about. And I dare say that a lot of people, when they start thinking seriously about what would get churches a good grade on their report card, they've been maybe looking at the wrong things. You know, a church might look pretty good if they've got a beautiful building or a great kids program. I heard about a family, and they knew they were compromising in the church they were choosing. But they said, "You know what? They have such an outstanding kids program. My kids want to be there. And because my kids want to be there, I'm willing to settle for second-rate preaching." Well, I think that's not a good recipe. I think that's a recipe for trouble. It may win you the day on this Sunday morning in terms of your kids' attitude as they roll into the car as you get ready to go to church. But what about when your kids need mom and dad to have been equipped by the Word of God? What about that day that's coming when the bottom falls out in your life? and you have been feasting upon fluffy nothing for so long that you've got nothing. And guess what? Your closest friends at church have also been equipped by a fluffy nothing, if you will. By that, I just mean very lightweight teaching where you have no substance. There's no fiber in your diet. And so we need to say, okay, we were giving that church a great grade because they have a wonderful kids program that the kids love to go to. But maybe we need to change the grade on that based on what the Word of God says. Well, let's consider some more of the Bible's grading criterion so we can kind of sort out what our church report card ought to look like. Okay, we've gone from 1 Timothy. Let's focus our attention on 2 Timothy today. The first one we want to notice is, are they a church that passes the truth on to others? And I'm specifically thinking of 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many faithful or many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay, this is a verse that's often used to show the importance of personal discipleship. Things that you've been entrusted with, Timothy, you need to be looking for the faithful men in your church. I really like, you know, when people sometimes say, who are the people you ought to be spending time with and investing in? And some people said, well, you need to look for faith for fat people. Fat people. Well, fat people. What do you mean? Faithful, available, and teachable. They're the ones that you want to invest in and pass the truth on. Well, I've heard somebody say, well, let's change that from fat people to faith people. And they added the letters initiative, faithful, available, initiative, teachable, and the H stood for heart for God. And yeah, if you find those people in your church, pass the truth on to them very intentionally so that they can and will pass that truth on to others. And the truth will continue to spread. So think about it. You know, I go to one church, Church A, and maybe I'm giving them a lot of good grades. Church B over here, yeah, the kids program, it's pretty vanilla. It doesn't have nearly as many, doesn't have as many pyrotechnics going on, no fireworks. But you know what they do? They pass the truth on faithfully. And if I want to be equipped for the work of ministry, Church B actually is what's getting the good grade, not the one with the flashy kids program that lacks this intentionality about biblical discipleship. Okay, let's look at another one. How about this one? Patiently, not passionately, correcting those in error. This comes specifically from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So 22 is the one that is often used in youth ministry context about we need to avoid lust, right? So it says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now, actually, in this context, yes, it's good to, you know, flee from youthful lusts, as some translations say, but passions is probably right because it's talking about people getting fired up in biblical debates. That's what we need to flee from. And he goes on to say in verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Now, some of you know I wrote a book on graciousness, that we need to temper the truth with love. And this comes from my own experience of being so zealous for the truth that as a young man, I used God's truth like a hammer, okay? And just was banging everybody. with it. I felt like it was so important to be about the truth that I was using it like a club or a hammer instead of, correcting my opponents with graciousness or gentleness. In that book, I tried to write some ideas of ways we can cultivate graciousness. And part of it was motivated by a verse like 2 Timothy 2:24. Yes, we need to correct. Yes, we need to speak the truth, but we need to do it in love. So if you have a church filled with people that love the truth, but they're not gracious and gentle, that's actually going to affect the report card. The Lord wants us to be about churches who speak the truth, but are patient and loving and bring God's people along. I mean, there's spiritual warfare involved here. Some people are trapped by the devil's traps, Paul says to Timothy, and we need to be patient about the way we correct them. Now we have to take a break, and Jimmy's going to give us some important words. But while he's doing that, how about you go over and hit that subscribe button on your podcast feed? And if you would you kindly give us a rating and review? Because that's going to help others find out about the integrated program. And that's really helpful to us in doing that. We will be back in just a moment and consider some more ways that we should have more markers on our church report card to see if we can get the Lord's grading scale going in our churches.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. What Dr. Kratz is doing today is challenging how we actually grade churches. And most people, they usually typically pick churches like they're shopping for country clubs. They want nice facilities and kids programs and impressive music. But the question you need to ask yourself, what happens when your life falls apart and you've been being fed kind of lightweight teaching for years? What happens is you start to find out that you've got nothing and neither do the people around you. The 2 Timothy 2 criteria John mentions changes absolutely everything about the way we approach the churches we attend. Are they passing truth to faithful people who then can teach others also? That's completely different from asking whether they have a good coffee bar or a really hip and cool youth guy for my kids. Most church shoppers never even consider that question. I'm appreciative Dr. Kratz is shining a light on this subject today. I want to point you in the direction of Fortis Plus. The voices creating all of the content that we're distributing on Fortis Plus, the fellows here at Fortis Institute, they all focus on what actually matters according to Scripture. Fortis Plus contains hundreds of hours of content from voices like Dr. Kratz and Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Libby Clausen, Todd Friel, and the content they're creating, again, it's on church life and theology and biblical leadership and discernment and marriage and parenting, content that helps you think biblically about what makes ministry actually healthy. So download Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded it yet, I urge you to do it because listen, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. The app itself is free and all of the content in the app is free. So download Fortis Plus right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or go to fortisplus.org. And like I said earlier, our gospel partners are the reason this content is free and available. These are men and women just like you who have been impacted by the content we're creating at Fortis Institute so much so that they wanted to stand with us to make sure that more people in more places all over the world also have access to the content. And so that could be you. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now and see what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what you want to write down about a church in your grade book. What matters is what Jesus is writing down. What grade is Jesus giving about our churches on his report cards for churches? And so we've been considering specifically 2 Timothy to look at the things Paul was emphasizing to Timothy so that we could read over his shoulders and understand what the Lord is looking for in churches and among church leaders. So we've seen that they are effective as they pass the truth on to others. We've seen that they're patient and not passionate in the way that they do their correcting. By that, I mean they're not harsh and ugly. They're gracious and gentle and patient as they offer God's words of correction. Here's a third one for today that we want to look at, and it is to persevere and grow in sound doctrine. So you want to understand how the truth fits together, God's truth, and you want to not just be a person that thinks they have arrived. You want to be a person that continues to grow in your understanding of these things. So let's consider chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, starting in verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay, stop there for a moment. And we just note that Timothy, okay, we don't just expect you to sprint for a while and be all about your commitment to the truth and then fizzle off. No, you've got to hang in there. It's like, what about when things get hard? What about when I get persecuted? Yeah, that's going to happen. That happens if you want to be godly. Persecution's coming. And really, the test is, do you continue in your integrity? Do you continue to hang in there and continue to believe the truth and to keep learning the truth and to keep going in the truth? All right, keep going here in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed. Right, Timothy? Hang in there. Keep going. Continue in what you've learned and believed. Why? Knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, Timothy, why should you hang in there? I taught you these things. I didn't just model how to live it. I gave it to you. Plus, you've known these things from childhood. And earlier in 2 Timothy, he specifically calls out Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice as being people, godly women in Timothy's life who spoon-fed him the truth. This truth is what's going to make you wise for salvation, and this truth is what's going to equip you for all of life and ministry. He goes on to give those classic words in verses 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So look at the end first. The man of God, who's that? That's Timothy. He's being God's man. He's doing God's work, God's way. And he needs to be competent, equipped for every good work. That made me think of when you need to fix something in your house or on your car, it is so important to have the right tool. And even as things, I'm specifically thinking of cars, have become so specialized. I mean, if you don't have the right size wrench or, you know, the right tool that can reach that to do the job, even if you know what to do, you can't do it. Well, the Bible is what is going to make the man of God competent and equipped for every good work. This is what you need. You need to be about the Bible. So patiently endure and keep going, but also keep growing, because the more you know the book, the better minister you will be. Verse 16 said, why is the book so important? Because the scripture is breathed out by God. It is inspired by God and profitable or beneficial. And he gives these categories, right? Teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness. Basically, the teaching that gets you on the right path, the reproof that comes at you and brings conviction when you get off the path, the correction to redirect you back onto the path, and the comprehensive training in all righteousness that is going to solidify you on the path from here until glory. It is God's word. And so, once again, you can have a church that some people would give all kinds of good grades. I've heard some people say the most important thing about a church is that you've got plenty of parking. Well, I can attest that having a good parking lot is super helpful when visitors come to visit your church. That's true, but is that really the most important thing? Some people have said, yeah, we go to the Baptist church for the teaching, but the Methodist church for the bathrooms. It's like, I don't know exactly what that means, but certainly we want to have good bathrooms at all of our churches, and may it be that they're clean and hygienic and all of those things. But what kind of criteria is that we just want to go to a place with a big parking lot and clean bathrooms, and it doesn't matter what we're being taught? No, we want to go where the people are people of the truth. They know their Bibles. They love the Bible. And they're growing in their understanding of the Bible, and they don't back down even when the heat turns on in society. They keep learning the truth, and they're very profitable for ministry because they know it. Of course, the next criterion is that they proclaim that truth, and that's the very next verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So some of those very things that the Bible is helpful for as equipping you and giving the right tools for the right job, right? The reproving and correcting and teaching. You got to do it. Preach the word. Be all about it in season and out of season. And some commentators talk about, well, okay, this means this and that and the other, and they try to get into the details. But I appreciate what one preacher said, hey, it doesn't matter what this means specifically, in season and out of season. There's only two seasons, and you need to be preaching the word in both of them. I thought, well, that's good. That really is what it's about, isn't it? I mean, people are, you know, time's coming. People are not enduring sound teaching, but having itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep giving this out. In Titus chapter 2, verse 15, Paul tells Titus, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. So how is your church going to be graded? Well, if the preacher is proclaiming God's pure, unadulterated truth week by week, month by month, year by year, well, that's going to get a really good grade on the report card. The last one I want to cover today in 2 Timothy is do the work of an evangelist. That's in the same context we were just reading in 2 Timothy 4. But verse 5 specifically says, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. So we want to be about the gospel. Now that comes out in our weekly preaching and teaching. Even as the kids of our church are growing in their understanding of their sin and the sufficiency of the death of Christ in the place of their sin and the fact that he was raised from the dead. This is doing the work of an evangelist, as well as having the opportunities that God gives us to take initiative and to share the gospel with others. I mean, again, your church might have a fine that might have the best snacks in the nursery, but do they do the work of evangelist? Are they about bringing the gospel truth to bear? Now, 2 Timothy had several other grading criteria that were echoes of what he's already talked about in 1 Timothy, like beware of false teachers and persevering in your integrity and zeal. But these are pretty distinct things we've looked at in 2 Timothy. So we want to know not only what our churches should be graded by and our participation in a healthy church, but we need to do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.